coming up on All Access.
Playmakers on three. One, two, three. Playmakers.
Jukes him at it. Close to the right. Julian gets outside of the middle. Hedeman down the right side, 140. Hedeman to midfield. Only the punter to beat to the 10. To the 5. To the end zone.
Greatest part of the turn right now, though. He's still right here.
Enjoy this one, fellas. You earned it.
I think you always have to find ways to get better because the competition is always finding ways to try to slow you down.
We were able to accomplish great things with the group of guys. The relationships are always special.
Patriots hit the break in great shape after their most impressive victory of the season. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. No games to look forward to this weekend. New England has earned a well-deserved bye. The mood was pretty good in Foxborough this week after defeating Denver and Peyton Manning here at Gillette Stadium. Let's begin the show with a look back at the sights and sounds of the win over the Broncos.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Playmakers on three. One, two, three. Playmakers. They don't know how we work. Today they learn.
60 minutes on three. One, two, three. 60 minutes.
Let's go!
Tom in the pocket, punts, throws to the end zone, sliding catch, Edelman, touchdown, Patriots!
Good catch, Jules. All right, every play counts.
Fields, the waistline is down, and he drops the ball, now open it, the puck clutch. Edelman backs up the return from the 16, jukes him at it, close to the right, Julian gets outside, Edelman on the right side, 140, Edelman to the 20 by 20, holding the puck to the beat for the 10, to the 5!
Greatest part of the turn right now, he's still right here.
And it buffers up on your back.
My man, hey, this is a huge drive for us now. We got to get off the field now. Critical before the half situation.
Peyton takes the snap. He's pressured. He goes back. And he bears with a sack at the 44. Granted for the drop back. He's going to throw for two. He's got a touchdown now as the Patriots expand their lead.
Got a bye.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks.
Get some rest, get guys back, get guys relaxed.
Do you miss it?
These, the games.
Oh, yeah, right there,
that was great.
Right one right there.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, okay. I was watching. Oh, yeah.
Good
one.
Sweet, was this a good one, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Got a good thing going, so. Yeah, 7-2, not bad.
All right, congratulations, man. That was a great job. That was a great job. We played just the way we wanted to play for the most part. You guys did a great job with that for 60 minutes. Had a good week. All right, now look, we put ourselves in decent position here. We got a long way to go. I'm just telling you now, 7 games isn't going to win anything in this league, okay? It's just not enough. It's not anywhere near enough. All right, we got a long way to go. Our best football is ahead of us. Enjoy this one, fellas. You earned it. You earned it. You were a better team tonight in all three phases of the game. You out-prepared them. You out-played them. Okay? Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access here on the bye week and joined now by Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. First of all, congratulations on the big win over Denver. And a lot of things stand out when you look at it. Your team's ability on third down to get off the field on defense. And again, here you guys are converting big third downs on offense. Fair to say that's a big part of why you won that game?
Yeah, absolutely. That was third and actually fourth down because there are four fourth down stops in there too on our defense. So it was I think that was a big part of it, you know, and certainly some of the big plays in the game, like the punt return and, you know, a couple of turnovers, but third down was huge.
We'll talk about your tight end, Rob Gronkowski. It seems like he's rolling at full steam right now, and when he's having that kind of production, your offense is pretty hard to stop. But even the mere presence of him alone, the size, you know, where he is in formation, how much does that dictate what defenses do as far as coverage and where they start game planning against you guys?
Well, when we get to the tape a little bit later on, we'll take a look at that, but it's interesting to, you know, the way you see teams, you know, playing Rob sometimes. Mm-hmm. It looks like they just leave somebody on him, and then other times he attracts a lot of attention. I think the big thing is for Tom to be able to just recognize that and, you know, when we have a good matchup to take it and when, you know, it's a team meeting around Rob, then, you know, we got to push the ball somewhere else.
All right, here we are. We are in the bye week. Want to talk a little bit about something that transpired last week, a little bit of a reunion around here. You had 22 three-time Super Bowl winners. And did you get a chance to talk to any of the guys? I mean, they were a big part of, you know, what you guys did here early in your career.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to see a couple of them. Not too many, though. But that was certainly some great years for us. And, you know, the guys that were here for all those were, you know, certainly a special group of guys. And you know, there was a lot of good memories, you know, when I think back to those years and you know, what those teams accomplished and how tough it was. We were in a lot of tough games and a lot of big games, and they had a lot of grit, and they grounded out, and wasn't always pretty, but, you know, we competed hard. Those guys did a great job.
At some point during this crazy game of football, you know, whether you're a player, whether you're in it, you decide to become a coach one day. There are three guys that didn't make it last weekend: Adrian Clem, Larry Izzo, and Mike Vrabel. Was there ever a point during when you were coaching any one of the three, you said, "Boy, this guy's going to make a great coach," or "Boy, he better not get into coaching one day"?
Well, and don't forget Kevin Falk too.
Sure, Kevin. Yeah, that's right. All different levels. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I, Vrabel and I had a lot of conversations about that, you know, and Vrabel would say, you know, well, why don't we do this? And I tell Mike, look, Mike, when you're the defensive coordinator, then you go ahead and do that. We're not doing it this way. Or, you know, we'd have a play and I'd say, you know, Mike, you know, when you're the defensive coordinator, you'll understand how upset I am about this play. You know, it's like you're a player and it's okay. You're a coach, it's not okay. So, you know, or, you know, be like, third and 37, or, you know, okay, Mike, what do you want to call here? You know, you
got all exactly. The answers. From the whistle.
What play you want to run now, Mike? You know, you want to call plays? All right, here you go. What, third and 37, what do you want?
See, Vrabel would be the one I would pick. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, time now for the A's Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from @RonM. Speaking of players, I want to talk about Malcolm Butler, you know, a guy that's, you know, really played his way onto this team throughout the preseason. And there he is in a big spot late in the game, covering one of the better receivers in the league. Malcolm Butler, what did you see in him?
Well, you know, Malcolm's a great story. West Alabama, and believe it or not, they had a couple of the guys in their secondary that were pro prospects. And I think he kind of got lost in the shuffle, if that's possible to get lost in all the talent at West Alabama. But you know, I think the times and some of the measurements on him coming out of college were a little bit inaccurate, but he's a very fast player. But for whatever reason, there were slow times coming out of him coming out of college. And then after the draft, we had some openings on our roster. We didn't, you know, fill it up with the full 90. And so we had some guys in for tryouts. He was in that post-draft weekend for the rookie mini camp and, you know, showed his skills and we signed him. And, you know, he's really been on the field playing consistently and getting better ever since.
All right. Good stuff. Bye week this week with the Bellustrator. No opponent. Maybe we'll take a look at what transpired in that Denver game.
That's it.
All right. Sounds good. Don't go anywhere. More Patriots All Access. And then Coach will be back later in the show with the Bellustrator looking at the Denver game.
Coming up on All Access.
It was a family reunion over the weekend for some Super Bowl champions.
It's nice to be around teammates that are older than me.
And later, we sit down with Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
Probably feels like we're 2-7 and not 7-2 around here.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots. pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking. And by Gillette FlexBall, the official shave of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everybody. It's Christian Fourier, and welcome to this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, it's the bye week, the midway point of the season. So, what is the biggest surprise so far this year?
The thing that most surprised me was the slow start of the offense coming out of the gate. I thought with the young receivers having a year experience, with Gronkowski back from day one, that things would be rolling a little quicker. But hey, you know what? All's well that ends well.
When Patrick Chung re-signed with the Patriots this spring, I thought his role would be on special teams, maybe a backup. But you know what his role has been? One of the best defenders on defense, third on the team in tackles, 9 starts, has stayed healthy, has been a physical presence, and oh, by the way, has covered pretty well. Look at that Broncos again. Very good coverage game.
Oh, those are good answers, but what I'm looking at is the fact that, yes, they started slow, 2-2, but they were able to overcome it so quickly, winning 5 games in a row, all the deficiencies they had on the offensive line, all the question marks on defense and the injuries, and yet they win 5 games in a row. Great coaching, great attitude. All right, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress. Every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to All Access presented by GEICO. While the Patriots have hit the break in good shape, as Bill Belichick said early in the program, 7 wins won't get you much in this league. Dan Roach takes the pulse of the Patriots heading into their bye.
Abdullah has a pick 6.
On September 29th in Kansas City, the Patriots hit rock bottom.
Touchdown, Shane Vereen!
But since Casey, the Patriots have taken off, having notched 5 straight wins in impressive fashion.
Brady's going to drop back. He's going to throw for Vereen. He's got a touchdown now.
Over those 5 games, the Pats are outscoring their opposition by almost a 2-1 margin, as Tom Brady and the offense are averaging 40 points per game. The defense is allowing 21 points per game while forcing 10 turnovers, and special teams has stepped up as well.
Complimentary football. Anytime you have multiple units playing well, usually good things happen and there's good results.
The Patriots are enjoying a long weekend as they hit their annual bye week, a time for everyone to get away.
I'm a little banged up. The bye will come in handy, but I will be doing things, you know, to stay, keep myself in shape. You know, as far as running and my flexibility, I'll do a little bit of yoga here.
Meanwhile, when the Patriots return, they'll be ready for a regular season 7-game sprint to the finish.
We're at a decent place. We put ourselves in a good position, but it doesn't mean anything. You got to go out there and you got to do it. You got to do it at a higher level than what we've done it.
As the Patriots hit the bye week, think about this number when it comes to just how consistent this team has been under Bill Belichick. With 1 win, they'll finish at 500 or better for a 14th consecutive season. Pretty amazing stuff under their head coach. From the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belichick. Being the bye, Coach said he wants to do a little self-scouting. So we're going to go back to the Denver game, take a look at some big plays. Where do we start? Special teams?
Yeah, we'll start with the kickoffs. I know how much you like to talk about kickoff coverage.
They're awesome.
So, yeah,
we'll R3, talk. Right? Or where's the R3?
You know, field position is such a big part of the game, particularly against a team like the Broncos and with the wind conditions. So, you know, here the wind is kind of blown across the field from our bench to their bench. So Steve's kick ends up down on this side, and they're trying to run the return back this way. So here's a double team on Don Jones. This is Matt Slater coming down here and cutting off the field, and then we'll see Casillas play kind of over the top here of Jones, but this is really a great job by Don of coming down and splitting the double team. That's what we call running, you know, running through that double team. Slater now cuts off the field, so Matt uses his speed to really, you know, negate anything back to the field, and that just restricts the whole return into this relatively short area here. And you know, it's Casillas coming over the top, making the tackle. Casillas really did a good job for us. You know, four tackles on special teams in the game, and you know, he stepped right in.
And Wednesday, you got here what 8 a.m. after the trade, and then
right.
Yeah, so you got guys getting production right there in what 2 days.
So again, this is another you know, interesting play here. We're in a we're running a right return, so we're going to try to bring the ball back towards our sideline. This is Chung coming out to double the gunner with Logan Ryan, and you know, Colquitt kind of muffs the snap. This is an excellent play here by Bolden. Bolden has Tammy at the line of scrimmage trying to hold him up, and then he sees the ball get muffed. And is alert enough to drop Tammy, almost blocks the punt. But, you know, again, had we been running out of there, you know, Colquitt could have pulled it down and run for the first down. So a really heads-up play here. And so now the punt comes down, and this is Edelman handling the punt. And really, like we talked about last week on special teams with Denver, there's three gunners.
Right.
There are the two gunners there with Bolden and Webster. And then here comes Bruton right down the middle of the field, and that's Slater on him. So we're able to get all three of those players. Here's Slater, here's Amendola and Malcolm on the on Bolden, and then this is Chung and Ryan on Webster. You can see the coverage gets really condensed here. Everybody's basically inside the hash marks. The Broncos don't have a lot of width of their coverage, and so we're able to, you know, get a couple guys pinned there on the edge. Edelman's able to, you know, bounce it outside. Tim Wright just, you know, just gets enough of Nelson there.
Just does
there.
Enough. I mean, people are complaining about this, but, I mean, that's not a block in the back.
No, and you know, really, I think Julian's already got him beat to the
sure.
edge anyway. And then, you know, this is really what, you know, what you want as a returner is to see, you know, the punter and an offensive player or the snapper or somebody as the last line of defense. And you know, Julian runs right by them.
And that meeting on Monday, Julian better beat that guy or he's going to have a hard time from you guys.
Exactly.
So that's right.
So here's the same play from the end zone. You can really, you know, see it set up, you know, perfectly, particularly on the inside part. So, again, this is Slater coming down here. You know, he's going to take Bruton, again, who's their fast guy, right down the middle of the field. Bolden holding up Tammy here, which is a big, big play for us. And then, you know, he's able to force the punt, and I think, you know, when Colquitt rushed it out of there, there wasn't a lot of hang time. You know, this is the kind of cardinal sin here in punt coverage. You never want to be in the I formation. You know, one, two, three guys following each other right down the field. Again, Slater gets the block on Bruton, so we get these guys all stacked up together.
Now, you're over here. Do you ever see this angle starting to develop where you're like, uh-oh, guys, we got one here potentially the stack?
We can certainly see that there's a lot of space here and that they're not really, instead of converging, you know, from the outside in, like I'm sure they want to do. Again, we talk about this. Anytime we get in the I formation there, that's not good for coverage. So, you know, Chris and Malcolm are able to pin that edge. Julian gets outside. And so really it comes down to Tammy, you know, a tight end, and Colquitt, the punter. I mean, those are the two guys that, you know, you like to think that, I mean, the rest of it's all defensive players, but, you know, those are the two guys plus the long snapper.
You got Butler, you got Casillas out there hustling in front. Casey cuts it back inside. So that's
a huge, huge play for us, really well executed. You know, the punt return team works really hard every week. And, you know, it was great to see that kind of result pay off for us there Sunday afternoon.
All right, good stuff.
Coming up on All Access.
Coach Belichick is just getting started. More from an extra special Belistrator a little later on in the show.
Brady does a great job of stepping up in the pocket, getting his eyes downfield, you know, making a great throw to Edelman in tight coverage.
Plus, one-on-one with quarterback Tom Brady.
There's not much grooming from Brian. He sweats. He could sweat in 30-degree weather. I'm always like, man, can you please clean yourself up?
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
It was a super reunion over the weekend as 22 players who won 3 Super Bowl rings were honored by the organization. It all kicked off in an exclusive party at the Patriots owner's home. Jackie Britton has more.
What's up, man? Hey, what's up, man? What's up, man? What's up, man? Looking good, man. Looking good.
Doing okay?
Doing all right.
Good. This is my son, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Mr. Kraft.
How are you?
Hey, Britton.
There are 22 Patriots who own the title of 3-time Super Bowl champions.
There he is.
That brings us here to the Kraft family home. Patriots owner Robert Kraft hosted a luncheon for a family reunion of sorts in their honor.
I mean, I love the fact that it's a unique group. What I like about the 22 guys that we're celebrating this weekend is they're all quality guys.
He might be the first field goal kicker to ever go into the Hall of Fame. He should be the first field goal kicker to ever go into the Hall of Fame. So he kicked game winner there.
Well, first I'd like to say it's nice to be around teammates that are older than me.
Some stories we really can't tell in here, but you know, many stories from Tom's blue feet looking like a Smurf to somebody actually getting a pig's head and stuffing it in Vrabel's locker.
In front of the backup quarterback's locker, there are 3 of his tires off of his vehicle in the front of his locker.
And I know David said, don't tell this story. We were coming back up to a practice, an OTA. We had OTAs that summer. Anyway, what ended up happening, I doze off in the back seat. I want to say about 3:34 in the morning, we still at the gas pump. David is asleep. We're still in D.C.
When you're able to accomplish great things with a group of guys, the relationships that you build and the bonds that you make during that, the good, the ups and the downs, are always special.
Oh, man. Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
We'll shoot you up tomorrow looking like this.
You know, obviously, that first Super Bowl was special, but, you know, the second Super Bowl, it was just as special. You know, it's like I had twins and then I had triplets. So, it's something that just to be a part of history.
In the 20 seasons since we've come in under the salary cap era, there have been close to 40,000 players who have played in the league. But there are only 22 who have enjoyed the privilege out of those thousands of players of winning back-to-back championships and winning 3 and 4 years. And 17 of those 22 are right in this room right now.
You want to feel like the person that you work for, the person that you're close to, actually cares about you. Well, Mr. Kraft and his family actually care about the guys that play on this football team. They go far and beyond to make sure that this organization is top-notch, very first class. And to have this 10-year reunion this weekend and to bring the guys in just speaks volumes for what he's done for this organization.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi. Pepsi and the New England Patriots, a wicked good team.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Here during the bye, get a chance to talk to the quarterback each and every year. Tom Brady joins me now. First of all, big congratulations on the win over Denver. Quality of life, I want to talk about that because about 5 weeks ago, when things weren't going the way you wanted to go, you said around this building, quality of life is not good. How's your quality of life heading into the bye after the big win against Denver?
Probably feels like we're 2-7 and not 7-2 around here. Even when we win, we find ways to, I guess, nitpick, but in a positive way, because I think we're trying to make improvements. We're trying to get better. We're trying to be at our best every week, because that's really what it takes. Mm-hmm. In order to achieve the success, you don't win and go, wow, we got all these problems solved. Let's move on to the next week. I think we're trying to figure out ways to, get better. So
Things didn't work in Miami. So, but obviously, you've won 7 of 8 since. Does that get lost in the shuffle? I mean, you've won 7 of 8. But yet, obituaries have been written not only about your team, but yourself. There have been Tom Brady is in decline talk shows on sports radio, not mine, but some others. Coach has always said you got to ignore the noise, but you're human. Have you heard the external noise and what has been said about yourself and the team?
Not much. I mean, truthfully, no, I've been treated so well for so long. I mean, if
good answer.
It is. And in 15 years, I mean, no one's ever said anything bad about me. So I've been really fortunate, and we've been able to turn things around when things haven't gone well here in the past. So I think that when we're, 0-1, it's not like you go, oh, let's throw everything out. None of that crap worked. Let's totally change everything. It was, no, look, we had we were ahead at the half of that game in Miami. We didn't play a good second half. Well, what are the reasons why we didn't play well? Oh, let's try to improve those things. Then we won 2. Then we had a real bad night against KC. And then we played pretty well since. So, we're put ourselves in a decent position. I don't think, coach always says 7 wins won't get you anything in the NFL, which is true.
We all know that.
Yeah, which is true. But, we got our whole season ahead of us. So we got to get better.
Talk about aspects of your game through 15 years. And I think one of the most enjoyable things about watching you is you're kind of the same guy every week. Your approach is always the same. Yet 3rd and 10, 3rd and 18, 3rd and 19, 3rd and 20. Yeah. 4 years ago, those are non-convertible third downs for whether it was Billy, Josh, Charlie, whoever the heck the coordinator was. What's changed in your game as far as the movement in the pocket? And I've heard you talk about your work with House and Josh and, of course, Jimmy. What's changed with your game on third down?
Yeah, we've tried to, improve some of those things because I think you always have to find ways to get better because the competition is always finding ways to try to slow you down. And I think that we've converted some of those plays this year, which why are we in those situations? The first
penalty here or there, yeah.
I know, but we've probably had too many third and longs, although we've overcome more third and longs this year than I think we did all of last year. So
it's usually a draw, but you know what I'm saying? It's usually a draw or a check down or a screen. That's your typical call there.
Well, sometimes it's, let's try to get at least half and then improve our punt. But I think this year we've been pretty aggressive with it because we got a lot of big targets out there. We got guys that can make tough catches in space, LaFell and Tim Wright and Gronk. And, those guys being out there on the field for us have, done a lot for our offense. So we're going to try to keep putting pressure on those defenses to stop us no matter what the situation we're in.
Speaking of big targets, let's talk about the biggest, Gronkowski, 87. Let's go back to the catch in Denver. We know which one, the left-handed one with the Buzz Lightyear left arm. What did you see, Dornick? Because if I throw it, I'm getting chewed out because it's going. It looks like there was two guys underneath, a guy over the top. What made you throw it, and can you believe he caught the ball?
Yeah, the timing of the play was screwed up. I came off the fake, and I wanted to throw it, but the Mike linebacker kind of got right in that throwing zone, and I kind of pumped it, and Gronk was still running behind the guy, and I saw a little space, and I threw it off balance behind him, and he went up there and made the catch of a lifetime. So I was pretty pumped up after that play. I know Brandon LaFell was pumped up. He saw it right, he was right there. So that was a big play in the game. The next one we went back to Gronk, threw him the slant for the touchdown. It was a huge play in that game. Really, that drive was big, but Gronk solidified it with that catch and score at the end, so it was incredible.
Good stuff. One last thing, your offensive line coming together, and you're breaking in a new center, a guy by the name of Brian Stork. You broke in Dan Copen back in the day as a rookie. You got anything on the Stork as far as grooming habits maybe? You have a lot of contact with him.
There's not much grooming from Brian. He sweats. He could sweat in 30-degree weather. I'm always like, man, can you please clean yourself up? Because he's got sweat dripping over. I said, look, on a 70-degree day, I don't want to be throwing a wet football, so you better figure out something how to keep your dry. So
good
my
stuff.
Hands are there quite
good
a bit.
Stuff. If you look like you're shaving, maybe he'll go and shave.
Right. He better, I know.
Enjoy the bye.
Thanks,
though. There you go. There's your quarterback, Tom Brady.
Northbridge High School's Ken LaChapelle's record-breaking 324th career win earns him our High School Coach of the Week Award. LaChapelle has spent his entire career at Northbridge and with their win last weekend became the state's winningest coach. Oh my God. He is the only coach in Massachusetts history to win over 300 games one school. Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Northbridge High School football program in the name of Coach LaChapelle.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Because it's on the bye, we have an oversized Bellis shirter. We already took a look at special teams, and now the coach rejoins me to take a look at offense and defensive plays against Denver.
Right, so here we are in the red area. First and goal on the five. And so this is a play where, Vereen shifts back into the backfield, and the linebacker comes back in with him. Denver drops their big defensive tackle here, Knighton, off into coverage.
Pot roast.
Yeah, pot roast is back here playing in the hook area there, which I think that's offensive linemen love to see that. And you see what happens when he backs out, then Connolly and Stork are able to really clean the pocket out and give Tom a good lane to step up into. So we have Edelman coming in the middle, Gronkowski here on the goal line, and. Looks like Tlaib's seen this play before.
Right, waiting for that to sit. It's that spot route by that tight end.
Yes, he undercuts it right there. Linebacker jumps right on it. Tom, sees that and is able to, come back and does a great job here. Brady does a great job of stepping up in the pocket, getting his eyes downfield, making a great throw to Edelman and tight coverage there on Ward. Ward just can't make the play.
Again, 3 weeks in a row, extending plays within the pocket or a little bit outside the pocket.
Yeah, it was really a good play. 20-7, fourth and six. So, this is a big fourth down stop for us right at the end of the half. And so this is, the line to gain here. So, we did a good job of, trying to take away that route. You can see that, Welker's on like a little two-yard route. It's really not going to him. And what they really want to do is try to get the ball to Tammy here, it looks like, on the underneath route. Rob's sitting right there on the sticks, kind of, challenging this play. And, as Peyton's trying to sort it out, then Ayers and Vince and Ayers run a little game here, a little stunt here. Ayers comes free inside for the sack. So, again, combination of good coverage, good situational football by our linebackers of, being aware of the down the distance of 6 yards that they needed and sitting right on that so that they contested the route.
Sure, and Ayers is a guy that got, 70-some snaps. You get him 2 weeks ago. So you
right.
Guys you just got making big contributions here.
So with 2 minutes to go, we take over there and then drive it down. We come up third and five with the clock running 20 seconds or so to go. Again, this is an interesting play here. So this is Gronkowski at the end of the line, and the safeties obviously have him doubled, and the linebacker is also on him. So that's three. And then as Rob runs across here, the linebacker on the backside, also pulls off. So you can see the safety starts with him. He pulls off. Moore pulls off. Ward takes him. Irving takes him. And Marshall takes him. So, he ends up really attracting the coverage of four guys. And Shane slips through the middle there, and they have nobody on him. Once again, good protection. Nice job by Brady of stepping up in the pocket. And, again, this ball either has to be a touchdown or an incomplete pass, or the half's going to be over. So, again, really good situational football by Tom to, find the open guy, get the play executed. And we were talking about Rob taking a lot of coverage. Well, he did on that one.
All right, here you go. Denver down inside the 10 again.
Fourth and eight. And again, this is kind of the game within the game. This is, Manning coming to the line, making a protection call, an adjustment. Hightower making a defensive adjustment. Our communication here, trying to, play the chess match with, with the quarterback. So, Manning comes up in the end. He sees the double coverage here on the backside on Sanders. So, I'm sure he's off of that in a hurry. Over here, they're running the pick route with Tammy coming out to try to pick Revis, and Demaryius Thomas trying to come up inside, with the back coming out here on an outside route for flare control. One of the things that happens on this play is Ayers comes up the field on Clady and knocks Hillman off, so Hillman's not able to get out here to take Collins out of the play, which leaves Jamie kind of sitting right here where that under route that might have gone to Demaryius Thomas, that eliminates that. And then Chung, has great coverage here, and this looks probably as the second option for Manning. Tough throw, tough catch, back of the end zone, over the back shoulder, just a tough play to make. I thought Chung had a really good position on this. But again, good team defense, good job of, you know, the coverage took Sanders away, and then, you know, the execution of our pass rush,
it's
our coverage.
It's amazing what a little chip does, you know, looking at the Chicago tape, too, when he easily chips Forte coming out of the backfield.
Right.
Allow Browner to come up and make the tack. Just a little chip like that could affect the whole darn play.
Yeah, and you know, and it gives those linebackers, it puts them in a space that the offense doesn't really expect them to be in because they think their back's going
right.
to drag them out of there. So, you know, it was a big fourth down stop for us there. And then, you know, finally on the last fourth down, fourth and five, you know, another good situation here where, again, there's the line, the game, both backs are up in the middle. So they're going to protect this by, you know, putting the back up inside and blocking six for six, the five linemen in the back on our six guys. They're going to run slants up here on top and a flat slant down here at the bottom of the screen. Again, one of the things, good things on this play is Malcolm Butler here getting a good jam on Sanders and forcing him to come flat down the line and not up into this window, which is where they want to hit him. They want to hit him, you know, between the corner and the inside coverage player. Sanders just isn't able to get up the field here because Malcolm stays square and flattens him out. So he ends up catching the ball just short of the first down. Once again, the linebackers here, in this case, Chong and Jamie Collins are kind of sitting right there at that first down marker and, you know, contest the throw. Sanders makes it. It's a heck of a catch, but we're able to flatten him out enough short. Where he's not able to pick up the yardage for the first down. Big stop for us there. Again, well executed on defense. You know, that's the kind of precision and accuracy in the passing game that we faced Sunday night. I thought our defense really stepped up.
Best illustrator of the year. I know you got the bye week. Get a little, maybe take a cruise this weekend or something.
Yeah,
get back to work.
We'll get a little rest.
All right, Coach, good stuff.
Thank you.
There's your Bellustrator on the bye week. More Patriots All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And what did we learn after that Denver game?
Well, you found out this team is capable of an awful lot. Mm-hmm. You know, they can play at a high level. A lot of people thought Denver was the best team in football. And after that game, a lot of people think there's a different best team in football. So you learned just the kind of potential that the Patriots have right now.
I would echo that, and I'll sort of look at the big picture here at the bye, Steve. I think we knew that they were mentally tough and they could handle adversity like we saw earlier in the season against the Bengals coming back after that loss to the Chiefs. Right. And then, you know, the next week when they lost Mayo and Ridley. The other thing that I want to point out is great synergy that I think they have between their personnel department, the coaching staff. Akeem Ayers playing almost every snap in that game against the Broncos. This is a guy that couldn't get on the field for the Tennessee Titans. I think that really speaks well of what they have going on here.
They beat Denver at home. Now let's look forward. How significant is that home win when it comes to the AFC Championship?
Well, it puts you in play now to be able to have the playoffs right here at Gillette Stadium. And right now, this team is almost impossible to beat at home. So I think it's an enormous advantage. Had they lost the game, you could pretty much kiss it goodbye with Denver specifically. Mm-hmm. Now, you have all these tough games. All it takes is one loss coming out of the bye, and you could suddenly be bound to the third seed or the fourth seed just like that. But by winning the game, you put yourself in a position where you can control it. You win your games, and you're going to be here at Foxborough.
Start of the year, we said maybe Patriots-Denver on a collision course.
Right.
To win that head-to-head matchup, that's your first tiebreaker. Nothing bigger than that.
Brady's Brady. But it's amazing how one guy can turn a season around for the entire football team. And that guy is Gronk, in my opinion. What impact has he had? Because all of a sudden, Brady's accurate again, right? At the beginning of the season, it was
though. You remember how to play quarterback again.
Right.
I think you make a great point. Because to see Gronkowski the last four or five games as opposed to the first four or five games is just at a ridiculously different level. We all saw the catch, you know, the one-handed catch with the left hand. He can't be covered, Steve. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why I thought the Patriots were going to beat Denver. I didn't think the Broncos had an answer for Rob Gronkowski.
You were right.
He said it last week.
Nobody has an answer for Rob Gronkowski when he's playing at this level. If he's healthy, this offense is a pencil-it-in 35-point-per-game offense. If he's not, You saw it. You saw it last year. You saw it in the beginning of this season when he was just sort of an average run-of-the-mill tight end. Now he's all-pro, unstoppable Rob Gronkowski, and I don't think you can put a number on that.
We're at the midpoint of the season, so you give out some awards sometimes, and I was asked to give my MVP of the NFL, and I gave it to Rob Gronkowski. And to be honest, I was surprised that other people didn't really jump on board with that. You look at it, the first four games of the year, he was averaging a little, right around 35 snaps a game.
He was getting the rust off.
Yes, now the rust is off. Last five games, about 60 snaps per game. And to me, take all the stats you want and put them to the side. You go to the Julian Edelman touchdown catch against the Broncos. Watch the defense gravitate toward Gronkowski. Go to the Shane Vereen touchdown catch. Watch the defense gravitate toward Gronkowski. There's no statistic that can measure that type of impact. That, to me, is MVP-type stuff.
Well, enjoy the bye week. It's been a fun week off.
Good stuff,
I need a rest.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, thank you very much. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perlow, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody. See you later.